This show is for entertainment purposes only. Do your own research. We do not have a fact-checking department. Any claims made by any person appearing on the Intel Scanner Radio Show are the view of the individual. The Intel Scanner Radio Show does not endorse nor pander to anybody. We are completely First Amendment approved, and the NSA does not thank you for listening.
Here we are, the Intel Scanner, Tuesday night. Very special show for you this evening.
January 20th, 2015. It's a Hallmark show.
FEMA Sector 8.
Emergency broadcast. We have a really cool guest lined up tonight.
Bill Johnson, chairman of the American Freedom Party, is just about to come on the air, and this should be a lot of fun. Mr. Johnson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for inviting me.
We're delighted to have you. Would you like to just give us a little bit of background about yourself, and then we'll talk more about the American Freedom Party?
Okay, sure. I have been married for 35 years. I have 5 children. The youngest one just went off to college, so my wife and I are empty nesters. I'm a lawyer in Los Angeles. I went to Harvard Law School and Columbia Law School, and I've had my own practice here for, I don't know, 30-some years. We live in beautiful Southern California. We live on a large farm not far from downtown Los Angeles, where I have I'm the largest persimmon farmer in the area, you know, which I have 475 persimmon trees. We have cows and horses and alpacas and chickens and ducks. So it was really fun for my kids to grow up there. My practice is still going full time, but I spend a lot of my time promoting the political issues that we're going to be talking about today.
Excellent. How long have you been involved with the American Freedom Party?
Well, I joined it soon after it was started. It's gone through a number of name changes and permutations. It used to be called the American Third Position, because we're really a third positionist concept. But the board of directors voted to change the name probably about 2 years ago to the American Freedom Party. And so that's what it is now.
I like the name, and I agree with the name. And the American Third Positionist Party, that does work to go up against the Republican-Democrat paradigm. Do you agree that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are one and the same?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's that oft-quoted passage now that was coined by Patrick Buchanan that the Republicans and Democrats are just different wings of the same bird.
Yes. Right?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Can see some progress.
Where do you see the political parties going? Because there truly is no difference. Where do you see the political parties going?
We lose them.
Hello, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It was breaking up there. If the Democrat and Republican Party are one and the same, then there absolutely has to be another party to come in and go up against this machine.
See, what has happened is you have, every time you take a poll, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, it just, their approval rating just slides among the general public. But when it comes time for voting, the rank and file voter only votes for these two parties. And I don't know what to do to change their mindset so that they will put their pencil to the same place their feelings are and go to a third party. I think that the voter is timid. He's afraid to leave mm-hmm. what we have. So I guess the challenge is to make the alternative so viable, so sexy, so attractive that they will loosen up and leave the two-party system.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really couldn't agree with you more.
Well, I mean, would you say that the media and the press and quite a long time has pushed the issue that, you know, a vote for anything other than Republican or Democrat is a vote wasted? Now, that's been pushed upon the people.
But I mean, if you take a look at the media, the newspaper articles that were written 100 years ago, they were much more biased and extreme than the newspaper coverage we have now. I mean, you had the Republican papers, you had the Democratic papers, and they unabashedly supported their candidate and their positions. And if they wanted to talk bad about somebody, the article would just vilify them. It was supposed to be truth, but it was nothing but haranguing. And so that was the type of newspaper coverage that we had in the 1800s. So today there is much more fair and balanced coverage on every network, whether it is MSNBC or Fox News. It's much better than it was 100 years ago. So I don't lay the blame on the media. I lay the blame on every institution out there that kind of adds their that little brick wall to the brick wall that keeps change from happening. And it's really the blame has to rest squarely upon the populace who's sucked in by all of the various institutions that support principles contrary to what you and I are talking about.
And in the end, it's these same institutions that support this left-right paradigm that goes nowhere.
You've got, was it H.L. Mencken that said that there's no such thing as an honest politician is oxymoronic? And I think that's true because the politician is, by the very nature of his calling, duplicitous. They are out to keep getting elected themselves. They, you know, it's like Gary Hart, who ran for president years ago, and he says he wanted to become a senator because that was the next best thing to a rock star, and he couldn't perform music. So that's the mentality. They love the adoration. They love the attention, and they're not in it to make this country better. They're in it to support themselves. I mean, that not all politicians, right? But so many are, and so we have to deal with politicians who govern by opinion poll, not by principle.
And that's frightening that everybody as a whole in this country just conforms to that. And they just say that that's okay. That's okay for these politicians to sit as senators for 30, 40 years supporting nothing but their own friends, their own agenda.
Special interests.
And it's bullshit. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, take a look. Do you think that one legislative aide or one senator or one congressman writes legislation? No, it's all written by special interest.
Yes.
And there are more laws in the United States than the rest of the world combined. There are more laws in one homeowners association than some countries have. And so, you know, when I go to church on Sunday and people get up and they say, oh, I'm so thankful that we live in this free country, I'm thinking, wake up, lady. Yeah. This country isn't free anymore.
Define free.
Yeah. And you've got nothing but these politicians that just do nothing but day after day to pass laws, put their names on a bill. They see a problem and they think they can legislate it by passing a 900-page document and putting it into law. And so it's the system is untenable, it's unmaintainable, and the good thing is your generation, I'm assuming that you're substantially younger than I am, and even the kids younger than you, they're waking up. I mean,
yes,
we're getting a lot of contacts from kids that are 16 years old, and they say, I can't wait till I turn 18. So, we got some hope there, I think.
I see in the American Freedom Party, I see a viable third party. I see a solid platform. I see solid people from what I can put together. I see a solid platform with solid people. And we have to do something to break this left-right paradigm because it is nonsense.
I agree. And, you know, you called me in preparation for this show to do a sound check, and you said that you wanted to go over the platform of the American Freedom Party. And so I said, you know, I better read the darn thing because I'm the chairman. I've been the chairman for several years, but I didn't write it. And I've glanced at it over time, but I don't think I ever studied it. And I looked at it just now, and it's really good.
No, it really is.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
I got to find out who drafted that thing.
Yeah, that guy needs a raise, right?
Yeah.
I just where it starts off as at the first one, freedom from oppressive, unaccountable government.
Yeah.
The second one, freedom from a surveillance state.
Yeah, both of those are very much consonant with kind of liberty.
Yeah.
Well, did we lose you? Hopefully not.
I hope we didn't lose you, but
hello?
Cutting out for a second. The surveillance state is bigger than ever. It's really been
a
problem.
The oppressive, unaccountable government and the freedom from surveillance state. You said you have a problem?
Nope, no problem. You're back on.
No, we have a problem with the sound.
Okay. See, what happened was the Ron Paul movement, I was kind of involved in that in, I guess, 2007 or when he was running last time. And we held the first Tea Party activity. It was held in Galveston, Texas, Los Angeles, and New York. And we made boxes up at my house, and we threw them in symbolically into the Los Angeles Bay, and did it in Galveston and New York, or no, Boston, I mean. And so that was really the start of that. And Ron Paul had a function at the a Pasadena hotel for breakfast. He had lunch at USC. I mean, a big old gathering at USC, and then he had dinner at my house. And the guys there later on, they said, you know, the day that Ron Paul knew that he had a national party going on was when he was at your house, Johnson. And that's when we realized that the USC function, that people were really clamoring for change. And those first two points, there are a lot of Americans dissatisfied with the NSA, the government action that we have, just everything that you know probably started during the Bush-Cheney era. It probably started before that, but Bush-Cheney took it and ran with it. And so, you know, that's what we're left with. That's a legacy, and it's up to us to change it.
And it's frightening. You bring up the Patriot Act and everything that came out of the Bush-Cheney administration, and it is frightening the amount of spying and everything that's going on. What if the American Freedom Party was to be a viable third party, there would have to be some serious changes in the surveillance state. And how could we downsize all these federal agencies without creating an economic crash?
Okay. Well, I didn't get all of that in the middle, but first of all, let me talk about the surveillance state that we have in the Patriot Act. I just read in the newspaper recently that France, in light of all of the trouble that it had because of terrorists, that they floated the policy of something similar to the Patriot Act, and all the politicians laughed out loud. We're not going to do something like that. So America, the bastion of the free, has passed something that the other countries ridicule for its oppressiveness. So, you know, we have to change that, and I think that is a real area that we can see change and become a viable third party, and if we take that position. And I forgot the second half of your question.
If the American Freedom Party was to take power, at how would we downsize all these federal agencies without creating an economic crash?
Okay, my particular take on this is that we are way too concerned with free market economics and capitalist I mean, when I was growing up and all through my early years, capitalism was just rah, rah, rah. And these other concepts like distributism or nationalism, those were ridiculed and ballyhooed. But in reality, we cannot be so concerned with economics that we look to the bottom line. I mean, the free market capitalists, they'll go in and strip mine Yellowstone for a profit. That can't be our mentality. We have to do what is right. We have to promote principles of freedom and integrity, and let the devil take care of the consequences. This country will survive. We will thrive. We don't have to have an ever-increasing and expanding gross national product. People will be taken care of. There is enough productivity in this country without expansion. We don't need to have this consumerism mentality where people replace their small TV with a larger one, in every room. So I don't care what the economic consequences are. I would want to institute policies and programs that are sound for future generations. I have all of these cartoon books from Snoopy, the Peanuts era books, and you look through theirs. I like to read them at nighttime because it's kind of comical, the innocent era of the past decades. And you have Linus there saying he's being chewed out by fuss budget Lucy, and his response was, "What will it matter in 500 years?" You know, and that's the mentality we have. Everything we do today should be what will impact 500 years from now. Because 500 years prior to us, they were concerned about the future, and we are only concerned about the immediacy of the now, and we've got to abandon that. Every principle, whether it is environmentalism, whether it is freedom, whether it is opposing dysgenic policies, we have to look what is for the best of the future generations 500 years from now. So America we still have plenty of resources, plenty of ingenuity, plenty of dedicated people, plenty of hardworking people. We don't have to worry about the economic consequences of our policies. If we take measures to stop, if we take measures for efforts that are going to create an economic downturn, so be it. There will be people to pick the lettuce. There will be people to work in the factories. There will be the jobs that have to be done will get done. So let's just dismantle what's wrong, what's bad, and move in a different direction.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if we brought half the jobs back from overseas that have been shipped over there in the past decade, we wouldn't be in the highest unemployment rate, you know, that we've been in.
Oh, I know, and I get all sorts of contacts now from foreign sources that are, their jobs have been exported, particularly, you know, like service people when you contact your computer company or your manufacturer to get advice. Everything is shipped overseas at every level, and that's got to end.
I like how you said that. In order to downsize the surveillance state is just start downsizing it. When it comes to that, there really is no thinking about it. It's just downsize it.
Yeah, I mean, let's take, for example, what is the most innocuous federal agency that I can think of? The Department of Agriculture. You know, what do they do? They just help farmers. All their information, and you know, you can get that from the internet. I had some Department of agriculture people come up to tell me what kind of.
Oh no!
I know, right?
No. Here we go. It's coming, people.
Right.
You have pernicious ones like the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, how many terrorists have they caught, and how many? You know, how many?
Well, that's how Bill many Johnson. Have they caught.
Yeah, how many of them? Were staged by the federal agencies that caught them.
Yes. I mean,
presidential candidates. Well, which department would you got? The answer should be, which one would we not got?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the TSA, every alphabet agency that's out there.
Oh, everyone you named, that's got to go. Every single one of them.
All of them.
You know?
Not to mention the huge overfunded military-industrial complex that goes along with that and all of our foreign entanglements.
You know, it's very interesting. When I was a teenager, the Vietnam War was going on, and my dad was rah-rah Vietnam War, and my we got to save the world for democracy. You got to stop the communism. And my older brother says, "We don't need the Vietnam War. We gotta oppose it." You know, and I sided with my dad. And then you know, I get a little bit older, and times change. And I realize that my older brother was right, and all of his hippie friends were basically right. This industrial complex, it's just all fueled by capitalism,
yes.
This military-industrial complex, because they want, you know, the Halliburtons, the huge Hughes aircraft, the McDonnell Douglas, they just want to the Bell helicopters, they just want these juicy government contracts. And it serves no purpose. Our military should be way reduced.
Extremely. Now, would you agree that the U.S. military is the largest socialist welfare program of all time?
You know, I'd never heard that concept before, but I agree with it. I think it's true. What are we doing in Germany? Why do we need to have our troops patrolling Germany? You know, or Japan? We don't need our troops in Japan. And yeah, I agree with you. It's welfare to the extreme.
It is welfare to the extreme. Yes. I had heard that not too long ago, that the military was the largest socialist welfare program of all time. And and it made a lot of sense. let's move on here on the platform for the American Freedom Party here. The next one was freedom from the immigration invasion. And I don't even need to ask you where you stand on invasion, and you probably know where we stand on immigration. But
no, I don't know where you stand. I talk to a lot of people from many different stripes and perspectives.
I say lock it down. I say very little, but that's me as an individual. I mean, there's several other producers here. I say, and we've said this since the beginning here at the Intel Scanner, that I want very little immigration. Lock it like Greece. That was the only reason that Greece stood for so many years, was they allowed very little immigration.
Yeah. And, well, this whole issue regarding immigration and a bigger issue of racial identity, our board.
Oh. We were about to get into something awesome there. Mr. Johnson will be back here in one moment.
It's a long-distance internet connection.
Yes. I love the internet.
I represent the most extreme of our factions because I've kind of moved beyond immigration. I'm a nationalist, and I think that even if we stop immigration right now, it's not going to change things. The traditional American will be dispossessed. So what I want a separate white ethno state. And a lot of my board members, you know, don't want to advocate that. But I was flown out to Lehigh Valley, which is like Allentown, Pennsylvania, one of the largest chambers of commerce in the United States. They have like 35 employees and just a huge amount of revenue. They wanted me to talk about why I wanted a separate white ethno state. So I get up there, and that's what the show is all about. And they have the district attorney. They have elected mayor. We're all sitting there. And these guys are, let's stop immigration. Immigration needs to be reformed. Then they have people that are for immigration. And so they opened it up. And they said, okay, Johnson, why do you want a separate white ethno state? And everybody that was mainstream Republican on there, they blanched white. What? We can't talk about that. So I get that a lot. I mean,
oh, you can talk about it here.
Yeah, I'm not. I think people like to say we got to stop illegal immigration. We have the stand in line.
Stop it all.
And I'm saying, hey, you know, a nation is a people. And so just closing the borders isn't going to do it. And we've gone so far down the road that I believe that we need to have, in order for my people to survive, we have to create a separate ethnostate. And so you're not going to find that in our platform. You're going to find a bunch of our directors that will go, will tell me, yay, yay, and pat me on the back. And then in private, but in public, they don't want to mention that. So, you know, that's where I stand. But I'm going around the country. Whenever I'm invited to appear on TV, you know, and it's a number of times, I unabashedly say, I want to save the white race. I want a white ethnostate. And, you know, in most of these places, you can't even say the W word without people getting mad.
Well, people are touchy and sensitive these days, aren't they?
Yeah. We are very we say whatever we want here. I
this is the free speech zone. I mean,
good for you. Good for
this
you.
Is the free speech
what I like
zone.
To say is that we live in a society where white people hate white people who like white people.
Yes, and, that is so, true.
You know, that's what I deal with. I mean, I was asked to join a Rotary Club recently, and so I said, I'll join it. And so I joined it, and then the Rotary, which is a big old nonprofit organization, they contacted me and said, oh, Johnson, we changed our mind. We don't want you to join.
Aww. So, I don't understand how you live out in Southern California, out in Communist Central, and... I mean, how does that work? That would be a frightening area for me.
They called me into a meeting so that they could specifically tell me why they didn't want me to join after all. Oh, but I get that a lot.
They didn't want you.
I mean, it's changing now, but I mean, my office has been bombed. Mayors have called for my execution. I've been attacked. I have, you know, the FBI, when my office was bombed, they came and they accused me of bombing my own office. People have filed motions in the court. Lawyers have filed motions in the court. And says, Judge, I know you can't take this into consideration, but look who's the lawyer for the other side. Look what we're dealing with. And I represent huge, multinational, very large publicly traded companies, you know. And so I got to give to my clients the documents that are filed. And some of the documents say, hey, Judge, I should bring to your attention who Johnson is, you know. And my clients just, they shrug it off. But it's been a wild ride for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sounds like it.
Well, I mean, it has been the media pumps a lot of multiculturalism around, as well as militant feminism and radical homosexuality gets every day.
That's just the militant feminism was popular when I was a teenager and beyond. That's when it first started out. And that there's really been a backlash now against that. And a lot of women now, they just want to get married and raise a family. They want to stay home and be good mothers. And they want to readopt the old roles. And I'm so encouraged and heartened by that. And now and a lot of the women, they're really getting to be good girls. It's the stupid men that still like to have all of the advantages of the promoted by feminism and take none of the responsibilities. So I'm kind of down on the regular men for not snapping up our wonderful women and starting families. The homosexual agenda, that's just come on strong, I think, in the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, when is that going to play out? Maybe not for another 5 or 6 years, or maybe even 10. I don't know, because feminism is playing itself out now, and that's been a 30-year
path. Oh, yeah.
You know, but I think that I can tell that there is a disease, a feeling of an uncomfortableness that has not been experienced in a long time. I mean, change doesn't come in a matter of years. it doesn't even come in decades. It comes in periods of scores of years. And the last change, big change that I can think of, was really the early 60s, where you had the hippie movement, where you had the Lyndon Baines Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act and the Immigration Reform Act that opened the floodgates for all the immigration coming in. The fighting against the Vietnam War, that was a big change. And there has not been a lot of change until now. Change worldwide is coming on strong. And my biggest challenge right now is to be prepared to be able to take advantage of that change and marshal it in a productive way. Because, you know, I've spent my whole career not having the opportunity to manage thousands of people. I mean, I have my little law practice where I have 10 or 12 employees at the most, and then I have my other little functions. But I've never had to run an organization where people are joining, and it's a volunteer organization is unique because they're not getting a paycheck. You've got to get them involved, get them motivated, and keep them moving in the right direction. And that is the challenge that I'm having now, coupled with the fact that we're growing faster than our income is can sustain it. So we have to be prepared for the change that is coming worldwide. Just today, over the weekend and then one today, our party got an invitation to go speak at a huge rally in Estonia, of all places. And wow. So people are going to go there. Then in Russia, they're coming in. And you read what they translate in very cute English. It's saying all the things that you and I believe in, and they're crafting it in English so that they can reach out to us. And so there's a swelling at every country in the world, not just the European countries, not just the Western civilization countries, but a lot of countries are waking up. See, when I was a kid in the 1950s, America led the world, and we were unabashedly proud of who we were. We are proud of our heritage. We are proponents of Western civilization, and the whole world looked up to us. Then we became cowed and afraid. We are afraid of the racist word. We are afraid to be proud of who we are. And so we abandoned our leadership role on the world stage. And in fact, we used our leadership role to promote counter improper principles that are dysgenic, yes, that are opposed, yes, to what's been anti-environmental principles. We've given the Western technology to the third world and the industrialized world, and we are no longer husbands of those principles, and we're stripped netting the fish from their oceans. We are turning them into barren deserts and wastelands, and so we have abandoned our leadership role. Rudyard Kipling talked about in the 1800s, white man's burden. It was the most popular poem during that imperialistic era. And the white man's burden was to lead the world in the proper direction. Well, since we've embraced these concepts of multiculturalism and diversity, and we're afraid of what people will call us, we're afraid that our neighbors will call us names if we're proud of who we are, we've abandoned our leadership role in the world stage. And as a result, every poor little animal and plant is facing extinction. And we are leaving you a world that 500 years from now is going to be a barren wasteland because the white race has abandoned its principles. And the world is waking up to that. And we are starting to reassert ourselves. And so there's hope. But the challenge that I have is to be able to marshal this welling mass of support into a constructive endeavor, and that's what's got me flummoxed at the moment.
That's you speak from the heart, and I have to say, so really, really, I want to bring this up, and I want to come down here on the platform just a little bit, is the right to bear arms, and that ties into everything that you were saying. With at all cost, the right to bear arms in the United States has to be held on to at all cost.
The biggest battle to bear in my life to bear arms was with my wife. And I finally won, and she allowed me to get a rifle. I mean, I grew up with all sorts of guns. You know, my parents were really big on guns. My dad slept with a pistol on his pillow, saying, "No one's going to come into this house." No one ever did, but that was the mentality. And I married my wife. She says, "Guns? I don't want guns." And I was, you know, I never had that was never a big issue. Then we had a mountain lion come in and take some of our puppies. And then we had another mountain lion take one of our dog was in a cage, and it was pulling the cage up the hill. And then we have bears coming up. I am totally opposed to shooting any animals. But I let my wife let me get a .22 so I can scare them away. I mean, we have a lot of rattlesnakes at our place, and I leave them alone. We had the mountain lion that we have running around in our area, and he's probably got 100 miles.
You don't like to shoot animals. You don't hunt? Hello?
Not to mention a gun is a tool like a shovel.
To strip our trees. Beautiful trees. But I don't want to hurt any animal. I will let them all survive. I will not use my gun to hurt those animals. And that's not what the guns are for. The guns are to protect from the government.
I agree.
That's certainly one good use for them. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. We have to use them to protect our families from bad people.
And the bad people are sometimes in the government. What do you think about
mostly in the
no-knock SWAT team raids for the drug war? How do you think? What do you think about
having
those?
A gun there, having a gun there provides you that added protection. And some states have even passed a law, I think it was Indiana, where if you have a no-knock warrant and the police burst into your home and they've got the wrong house, you can defend yourself and you won't be charged. Other states, you know, you can't defend yourself in your own home if it's the police that are coming in. But we're starting to wake up to realize that you know, we really have to protect our families, and our house is our castle.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with the drug war and the surveillance state and the burgeoning police state with the X-ray machines, and they're listening to all the phone calls with Viper. What are those? Viper units?
I know. This is my background. I mean, I've never tried drugs. I mean, I've never even tried alcohol or tobacco. I've never tried coffee. And my wife is the same way, and none of her kids. I would be shocked if any of my kids have ever even tasted alcohol. That's just not part of our lifestyle. But this war on drugs, drugs isn't an enemy. War on poverty, poverty isn't an enemy. All it is just an excuse to
spend welfare money, really.
Yeah, to promote the prison industrial complex.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
To take away the rights and freedoms. Now, I mean, I think, you know, frankly, I think that if we're going to have to, if I had to choose between banning alcohol or banning marijuana, I'd ban alcohol. I know we tried that before; it didn't work, you know. But I think alcohol is worse than marijuana. But they allow alcohol. So I have changed my position. You know, when I was growing up and I never wanted to try all that stuff, I was opposed to it, and I supported the efforts to regulate that. But now, just stop this war on drugs. But of course, it's so sad when I see all these people strung up on meth and cocaine, all those kind of stuff. But what's the solution? Is the solution more government intervention and regulation? I don't know. It's failed so far. How much of a bigger failure could it be if you just remove those laws?
We
here at the Intel Scanner are for full legalization. I say that for me. Is everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Full legalization.
We've seen time and again in history that prohibition fails miserably and creates more problems than the actual thing that's being prohibited.
This is my take. I would like to try full, what'd you call it, full freedom, I forget the term you used.
Legalization?
full legalization. I would like to try full legalization with the caveat that I want to see what happens, you know. And if
yes,
if it goes awry, then you know I may want to rethink that.
What do you do?
Well,
you can't roll back the wheels of revolution, right?
Well, I mean, just recently in Peru, they fully legalized everything there, and they seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, you know, and that gives other groups the ability to step to the plate and do the job that government shouldn't be doing anyway. This would allow the father and the mother and the community organizations, the social groups, the ethical unions, the churches, to come up and do their job. And I would like to give them the opportunity to combat this as opposed to you know, the government. So, yeah, I'm with you guys on that, with the caveat that I want to see what happens.
It would be interesting. I had a question. The biggest goofball puppet president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, or other? Who is it?
Okay, you know, for 40 years, they've been calling Jimmy Carter the biggest goofball president ever. And so that makes me think, well, if they call him that, it can't be true. Because I disagree with everything this country's doing. So I can't be right. I can't agree with Jimmy Carter. And so I started looking at Jimmy Carter. And first of all, Jimmy Carter had some real problems because he was a micromanager. He managed too intensely too many things, and he couldn't do what was right. He was also too timid. But I believe that Jimmy Carter had a big heart and a good heart. And I don't agree with a lot of things that he stands for today, but a lot of them I do. Ronald Reagan, he was a lousy leader because he didn't really lead. He was a figurehead.
Totally.
But in a sense, that kind of hands-off leadership is more conducive to a good role in government. You get good people to govern the country.
It's like the Queen of England, yes.
Yeah. Do I like Ronald Reagan? No. Do I like Jimmy Carter? No. I like Jimmy Carter more than I like Ronald Reagan. But you know, who was the best president that we've ever had? You know, I don't know. I kind of think it was probably one of the worst presidents that they ever named was, I think it was John Tyler. And I kind of like John Tyler. You know why? Because after he was president, he went and became.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. The Jeopardy
phones. Skype. You're killing
Skype's
it.
Killing me.
Mr. Johnson will be right back with us.
That's
everybody
awesome.
Everybody that I associate with in the mainstream conservatives, they're all just rah-rah Ronald Reagan. I'm not.
What's that? We lost a phone right there. What was that?
Oh, most people that I associate with that are calling themselves conservatives, they're really rah-rah Ronald Reagan, but I'm not. You know, but if you want to know who the biggest goofball president was, you know, I think it was George Bush Jr.
Bush Jr. Wow. I think the Intel scanner has to agree with you 100%.
That's pretty close right there, yeah. So, I mean, clearly you think you would agree that the seat of the presidency is a mere puppet front for the true controlling rulers of this country.
Well, you know, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. So many people that I associate with have this conspiracy or that conspiracy. And I don't mean to use conspiracy in a derogatory way, because a lot of it, you know, is probably legitimate. But I think there's more a convergence of interest. I think you have just the general population thinks that, oh, you know, diversity is a good thing. So every institution, from our employers to our churches to our schools, just promotes diversity till you want to throw up. So I think it's more just a monolithic, slow-moving inertia gathering function of society, and as opposed to manipulation by the few. I think you have a convergence of interest in the of.
Ah, Right when he was killing it.
Bill Johnson killing it.
Coming right back. This is a rad show.
It's pretty rad.
This is fucking rad.
We're probably getting close on time even almost.
Yeah. So,
to chip away from the WASP leadership role and to take away from the haves. And I think that every group, whether it's the education, the military, the entertainment, they all have their own little capitalistic driven concepts to get ahead. And so I believe it is more a convergence of interest.
We're starting to run a little short on time. I did wanted to ask you, is Barack Obama, is he half white or half black?
He's black. He's all. He's 100% black.
He's all black.
Good answer.
One of the good things that I like about Obama is he married a black woman and he has black children. You know, take a look at Jeb Bush, who's running for president. I
have to agree.
Jeb Bush married a Mexican or a Colombian or wherever she's from. Take a look at the Senate Majority Leader McDonald. What's his name? McConnell. He's married to an Asian. So I love Barack Obama for that reason much more than I love Jeb Bush or McConnell. He married within his own race. Good for him.
I have to ask one more question because this is something that's been on my mind for many years now. Why is the Bolshevik Revolution? Why does nobody in the United States know about the Bolshevik Revolution?
Because it's Russian. I don't know. I studied it when I was in high school. But, I mean, they just did a recent poll on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I can't remember what percentage of, but a whole lot of percentage thought Martin Luther King was still alive.
I saw that. Mark Dice. It was a Mark Dice thing. I don't
know what the Bolshevik Revolution is. And, you know, and you ask, the American public, I used to think that we were smarter than we are, and now I kind of am thinking that we're dumb.
It's frightening how stupid Americans are, really.
Yeah.
At 35, I'm frightened at how dunce Americans are.
This is what we need to do. We need to get married, have a family, raise our children to be a good citizen of the community. We need to do whatever job we have, act whatever thou art, act well thy part, be good at your job and enjoy it, and have a good, solid family life. And if we do that, there's hope for us.
Absolutely.
That's pretty solid knowledge.
The traditional gender roles are being just decimated by television and...
No, they have been decimated. They are now regrouping and rebuilding. And I can see it. I can see it coming, and I'm pleased. It's just starting, but the worst is past us. And traditional roles are coming back. When I go to work, I go through an area that was just all you didn't see any white families, and now gentrification is taking back. Gentrification in a wonderful way. You have fathers and mothers pushing their little children. They're holding little babies, and I see. There's hope in this world. Mothers and fathers are coming together. There's change. Change is coming. And I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I have been demoralized for 30 years, and now I see a glimmer of hope.
It's really good to see that in the world because it has gotten to where I don't really see it as much as maybe you're seeing it even.
Yeah.
All it seems to be is getting worse on the television, every television show.
Of course, I don't ever watch TV. I can't watch TV. So maybe that blinds me a little bit because I don't see – I'm not so involved in the day-to-day propaganda that comes through the TV. But you guys – one thing that I want to do is I want us to all pull together in the same direction. So tell your group to your listeners to join the American Freedom Party or join any other party. I mean, we had one of the most flattering things that happened in our organization recently is we had a schism. We had some people split off to start another party. And I thought, hey, we finally arrived when people are, I think we're successful enough to break off and start something else. So, and the other board of directors were really, oh, we got to stop these guys. And I said, well, good for them. They're moving in the same direction. They just want to do a different approach, but they want change. So we all need to work together and because something's going to click. And it may not, and it might be the American Freedom Party, and it might be something else. But if something clicks and grows and expands, then pretty soon we'll be at the tipping point and we'll have a future. So, you know, I want us to all pull together. I'm trying my best to deal with our growth. And
I just want to say that in order for there to be a viable third party, Mr. Johnson's coming.
Hello.
There he is. No, the phone was cutting out. I just want to say that in order for there to be a viable third party, I really see that the issue of abortion and the issue of firearms have to be wide open. You have to be able, both have to be unregulated for there to be a viable third party to go up against the Republican Democrat. Am I wrong?
My views are exactly that. We have members of our organization that have different views, I think, on abortion, but not particularly on armed. Yeah, I think we do.
I think we're all right.
So
on
what
firearms.
What we need to do is we need to allow people to have their differing viewpoints. I take very much a eugenics perspective on abortion, and a lot of people don't like that. I think we cannot allow just this runaway birth control that's destroying our entire world. And China has a one-child policy, and everyone gets mad and say, oh, China is doing that because they're doing all those abortions. How bad it is, you know? Not only do we need to get our nose
They're doing it out of nationalism, really.
But also, they're doing it because there's just – the boat is too darn full.
Yes.
So that's my view, and – people that don't, you know, I respect people that have other views, and people should respect mine.
Oh, it's breaking out. Well, I mean, I guess we're going to have to go to break here pretty soon.
Yeah,
correct?
We'll.
Okay. When Mr. Johnson comes back, we're going to speak to him and start killing it here. The production team is saying that we're moving to break time here. Mitch, are you there?
I am still here.
Oh, okay. My producer's saying that we're going to go to break here. Mr. Johnson, I just wanted to say here in closing that it was an honor having you here, and you are welcome to come back anytime here on the Intel Scanner.
We'd encourage anyone out there listening to check out the AmericanFreedomParty.org and just run over the platform, look at all they have to offer. It was very enlightening talking with you. Who is the presidential candidate that you might they'll be putting forth?
Ken Gibbidin. He's got the Daily Ken. That's kind of a news compilation site, kind of like it's a nationalist Drudge report. And it's, of course, it's small compared to Drudge, but it's quite large. There's a lot of people follow it. He's our presidential candidate. He hasn't picked a vice presidential candidate yet. But also, thank you guys very much for what you're doing. I mean, I don't want this make this a mutual admiration society, but what you guys are doing are really good. And I am free, you know, in the evening. So if you ever want to have me back, I'll be happy to come on and pontificate.
That's awesome.
Bill, we would love to have you. And thank you again for coming on. And
okay.
We're just trying to spread the brush fires of liberty.
Yes.
All right. Keep it up.
Excellent. Have a good night. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
And we're going to break.
Well, that was Bill Johnson from the American Freedom Party, the chairman. And we'll be back.
Trapped in a prison. stars made of fear and gods made of shame. I'm trapped in a prison with walls made of pain. Behind bars made of fear and gods made of shame. I got a life sentence, but I plan to escape. I've been locked too long, seems I can't get away. I've attempted and failed too many times in the past. Each time I tried to get out, ends up setting me back. But this time my cell is stronger than it ever was before. I can't stand that they still end me longer, but I can't get up off the floor. Thought I'd know just what to do, caught in a catch-22.
My damn crew, always yelling, you my boy Blue. Yeah, you should come too.
White hot with them.
You my home, my dogs, my damn crew. It's so obvious how much I need all of you. It's so plain to see. I need all of you to believe in me. And I believe you do. And if I could get the chance to prove, I would give it my all, give it everything I got. I won't stop till I fall. Never will I quit. Reaching for the stars, coming from the grit, coming from the ground up. Better act real when you come around us. I want my people just to hop on my bus. I wanna be a star, cause we all turn to dust. Damn, it's like, what I do? I don't even wanna know the truth, cause I'm too damn close to you. If my people laugh, what I do? I don't even wanna know.
White hot with them.
You should come too. You my home, my dogs, my damn crew. Always yelling, you my boy, Blue. Yeah. You my home, my dogs, my damn crew. You should come too. I really need all of you. I'll show your love back. Give me a Twitter and I'll follow you. Tell me to bust a freestyle and I'll bust a rap. I smoke a bowl without a group. Get them all stoned. Now it's time for the photo shoot. We just be doing what we do. All the damn day. And it's gonna stay that way. And you know it's true. Ain't nobody putting a stop to the things we do. Hell nah, nothing comes close. And if they wanna try, I'm gonna step on their toes. And if I could get the chance to prove, I would give it my all. Give it everything I got, I won't stop till I fall. Yeah, I won't stop till I fall. Damn, it's like, what I do? I don't even wanna know the truth, cause I'm too damn close to you. If my people laugh, what I do? I don't even wanna know, no. Damn, it's like, what I do? I don't even wanna know the truth, cause I'm too damn close to you. If my people laugh, what I do? I don't even wanna know, no. You should come too. Yeah, I need y'all. And if I could get my one chance, you know I wouldn't let you down. Big shout out to the Magic City Music Group. Shout out to 505-406-303. And now the 915. Yeah. Big shout out to Bloodshot Bandit. Justin and J-Mad. Shout out to Ro-Ro. Shout out to Schizo. This is our chance to shine. This is our chance to prove.
You better be born ready.
Suffocate me by police brutality. I suppose to put it into lucid terminology, the ability, by definition, to theoretically interfere with someone's thoughts and general ability to progress in life without conscious knowledge of their own behavior by just being, simply breathing, is considered the 15 steps of assisted addiction. Now, your demeanor, your behavior, even alone with me right now, leads me to believe you are a victim to this unfortunate disorder. I'm going to be honest with you. More times than not, this disease is irreparable and is hopelessly accompanied by institutionalism of some kind. Sometimes it's the safest last resort. You understand? It's okay. It's okay sometimes to just take some time for yourself. To do what's best for you.
Here we are, Intel Scanner.
It's a beautiful night.
Tuesday night.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to say, check out all the other shows. Whoa, on the mtradio.net, like Demanding Progress. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Roy and what the hell's the name of that show?
Earthship
Radio. And everybody else. And thanks for our technical crew, who is always magnificent.
And thanks to Bill Johnson for taking the time to come on the air and support the Intel Scanner.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a really eye-opening interview.
As a fan who was sitting there on the side, I got to admit, man, that guy had a lot of smart stuff to say. And he gave you something to make your brain think. So I appreciate it, you guys.
Excellent, excellent. As always, I am F-Bomb. Here with
N-word,
G-spot.
G-spot.
It was Jay Grande and G-spot. Yes.
Jay Grande and G-spot.
Back again.
Jay Grande.
Back again for the first time.
Hasn't gone to jail this time yet.
And the professor over in the wings.
Jay Grande.
And Steezy.
And Steez. So we're all here, roundtable discussion. Lots of us have a lot of things to say. I'm still looking at this platform for the American Freedom Party, and it's talking about freedom to live without fear of crime. A free society recognizes that career criminals need to be off the streets permanently. That said, the U.S. prison complex is inhumane and barbaric and incarcerates far too many people who have committed victimless crimes. The war on drugs must be ended and marijuana decriminalized. So let's start right that. I like that. The prison system's out of control. They're creating new crimes or new laws that create new criminals every day. Dude said we have more laws in the U.S. than the whole rest of the world has in laws.
And you know what's crazy? It was what's inspected in 2015 is 42,000 new laws to go before Congress.
Wow. I don't know.
Just this year alone.
Welcome to Rome.
Yeah, right. Where bureaucracy runs rampant and the red tape of code enforcement is never ending.
The only people, I'm sorry because I've lived here forever, just like the rest of you Americans, but the only people who need new rules are people who are paid to make new rules.
And your mom.
I'm sorry, but if Congress was to die today and not make another rule, we would be just fine. We would be just fine. Like, do we really need another law?
Well, if they would have said that, like, 12 years ago, we would have been in a world of shit right about now. Because we had a lot of technology come through, and we needed legislation on that to protect people who were building this shit.
12 years ago was 2003 and we were invading Iraq.
Maybe 20 years ago. I lose track of time sometimes.
Right. Well, point being, technology and the Industrial Revolution still rolls on, and new rules and laws have to be implemented as new technologies emerge, such as cloning, stem cell research, biotech, germ warfare research, and mutations and GMO foods. These things should be regulated way more than they are. All of those things.
And you have a really good point, Farrell, on the regulation. But like you were saying earlier, you were talking about it's not about the regulation. It's about the idealization. The fact that we can all meet on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem.
And that's a good point.
We're all
because,
split.
you know, no matter how differing most of our opinions can be throughout the general public and the masses, we all will agree on a lot of baseline things. We want freedom to express ourselves. We want freedom to protect what we're saying with the right to bear arms. We
like
want
tonight.
Freedom to be secure in our persons, in our effects, in our homes, without the surveillance and intrusive overreach of the government. We don't want to have a million laws. We want to have freedom to travel freely without being licensed to travel on a road that was built by American people's tax dollars.
DUI checkpoints.
DUI. The freedom to not be harassed by criminal and thug-like jackboot police. More of a... Here, I'll load that.
What?
More of a Barney Fife.
I don't know what you're saying.
An Andy Griffith approach to policing rather than G.I. Joe approach to policing would be great. I mean, and so most of us can agree on these basic things. The right to own your own property and be safe and secure on it.
Actually own it, not have,
not
to,
have
fucking,
to rent it.
Not have to pay a tax.
The right to earn a living and not have half of what you make, or at least 30%, taken from you by the government. Even.
Isn't that already protected? Like,
no. Do you pay 30% out your paychecks? Yes, well, everybody does.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
So how?
No,
protected
I'm talking
you?
About. I'm talking I about mean, your home. And
I don't
your
pay.
Right to.
That's
like,
a jack.
Well, I
like
mean,
what you were talking about. Like,
they're taking away more and more of that security with the surveillance and with the no-knock SWAT team raids. And with almost zero police accountability, they can bust into the wrong home and shoot your dog and your kid.
Hey, did you boys
and not be held accountable?
No, that is totally messed up. A violation of our Fourth Amendment. But
there
did you
is.
Guys see the last when that guy, when the last police department, I think it was in Missouri or something, did a no knock raid on the guy's house, and they kicked his door in, didn't knock the door, and guess what he did?
I don't know. What do you do?
Imagine me and you sitting at home and someone kicks our door in without announcing who they are.
Oh, yeah. I get shot.
Yeah, he what do you think he did?
He shot the guy.
He shot him, dude.
And no charges are filed.
No charges. The police chief got shot.
I heard
the police chief was like, yeah,
dude,
I'm going to
just talking about that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm kicking your door in. Like,
Bill Johnson.
That no knock stuff.
That. That's crazy. How constitutional is that? I mean, how much of a Fourth Amendment do we really have?
It doesn't matter how much constitution it is. The biggest question is who's allowing it to happen? That's the people you got to go after. Is the people who are allowing the violations of the constitution to happen.
Patriots are, you know, Patriot Act, you know.
Well, what about the U.S. Supreme Court upholding this type of action?
They're under pressure too.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
They're not lobbying under pressure.
Special
I'm sorry,
groups.
I'm sorry, but the Supreme Court is not under pressure. They are the only judges in the whole United States who cannot be fired or terminated from their position.
Yeah, it's a lifetime.
They're appointed for lifetime.
They can be
Why?
Voted out.
Why are they appointed for lifetime?
Senate
so that the
can
fact
vote
that
them out,
they
though.
Can never be so that the fact that they can be fired will never be an influence in their decisions.
No,
yeah, that's what they say.
The Senate can vote them out.
I don't think there's been a Supreme Court judge ever fired.
Or they can be forced to quit.
Because that's
disbarred.
The law. Once you're appointed, you're there. But the reason why, though, is because, like, so you can't be influenced by, like, corporate decisions.
No.
The time of day.
It's bullshit that they're not at risk. Because they can have enough of their buddies go in there and say, hey, you need to fucking quit this job. Or, you know, some bad shit's going to happen to you. Like, your house is going to get fucking blown.
I'm going to have to ask you to give me an example of that.
I'll give you an example.
It's behind
of this.
Closed fucking doors. Ain't nobody going to have an example of that.
I will give an example of this. A Supreme Court justice was. Where was I going with this? All right. No. On the Obamacare decision, there was a Supreme Court justice that was going to overturn the Obamacare as being a tax, and so therefore constitutional and controlled by the IRS. But
you mean sodomized?
At the last minute, this judge changed his mind mysteriously, and Obamacare was passed through.
That was the head right-wing Supreme Court, not Thomas, but what's the white guy who was the head of Supreme Court?
Roberts.
Roberts. There you go. Roberts was the deciding vote of the Obamacare Act.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
So, it smells to high heaven of threats and intimidation to get
maybe
that.
Maybe just paid.
But Roberts or is paid. A Republican or right-wing money talks. Appointed.
You know, bullshit walks.
Roberts was appointed by the right wing, though. He's appointed by Bush.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And still.
And he voted for Obamacare.
So he probably got paid off.
Well, actually, he didn't vote for Obamacare. This is his exact words. The Supreme Court is not here to protect you from your own decisions. Have fun.
Like the police aren't here.
He didn't say have fun. That was not his words, but he said, I'm sorry, but you voted it in? Well, then you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
That was Justice Roberts' final decision on Obamacare.
But even when it is voted in, the Supreme Court is supposed to act in the interest of the Constitution.
Well, absolutely.
It said that it doesn't violate the Constitution, so...
And they're wrong.
You gotta be... You also have to be responsible for your own actions.
There was also...
Something like that. You should look it up, Stathead.
Also recently, like a Supreme Court judge was just... had a conflict of interest in a decision he was making. His wife stood to make money off of something, and he, instead of recusing himself from the case, went ahead and made judgment on it anyways. Something to do with Feinstein's.
How would you look that up? Justice Roberts' official opinion on Obamacare? What is it called? Like,
his testimony.
He's a big pile of shit.
Official opinion?
John Roberts, big pile of shit. And then it'll come up and say,
Clarence Thomas, second biggest pile of shit.
Oh, yeah, John Roberts and Clarence Thomas having sex on the desk of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's right. Disgusting. Yeah. Ginsburg was videotaping.
It's crazy.
It's frightening.
You know, Clarence Thomas hasn't asked one question during any Supreme Court case in the last, like, 6 years.
Yeah, because he was, the last time he asked a question was... one of his justices questioned him on his question, like, that he was lying. So he said, I will never ask another question again.
I think he's a hologram.
He asked a question, like, 2 years ago.
He actually died, and that guy's a hologram now?
He broke his silence, like, 2 years ago, but you're right. He hasn't done it since. It was because another justice, like, questioned him on it. Because you know how, like, they pick a justice to write the opinion? You know what I'm saying? And he wrote the opinion on something, and homebody didn't agree with it, so he's like...
What the fuck, Esser?
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, well, then I'm never talking again. Yeah, I'm taking my ball and gum going home.
I mean, so shouldn't we, you know, the people of this country who it's for, be allowed to fucking do something about that? He's not doing his fucking job. He's inept. He's unable to perform.
Well, he votes. He just doesn't get an opinion. He votes.
He's mentally not. If mental patients aren't allowed to carry a gun, then mental patients shouldn't be allowed to serve on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you're right. He is a mental patient.
I think everyone should be able
to carry
a gun. I like
where you're going with this.
So, well, I would like to bring this all back 360 to discuss the American Freedom Party. Yeah. So, really... What are the viable options to go up against the Republican Democrat paradigm? Because it's bullshit.
If there's Bible options, you're not going up against the Republican.
Viable options.
Viable is, you know, you got the Green Party.
Viable, he said. Viable options, right?
What are the
what are the viable options? I mean, it would have to be someone along the lines of Ron Paul standing up for liberty and the little man, the middle class.
Yeah, you got the Green Party, and then you got the Libertarian Party. There's a lot of different parties.
I know it sounds lame, but it's kind of one of those things where you, like, you know, you got to weigh the pros and cons.
I think the only viable option... go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sad Guy.
In my opinion, the only viable option is to take money out of politics, and the only way that's going to happen is... the economy to crash, and then we see something else.
I agree, because when your guys' guest was on earlier, he was talking about how the voters are scared. I don't think the voters are scared.
Oh, they're scared.
No, they're not. The problem is that you don't have no regulation on the campaign ads. So you're allowed to lie, you're allowed to say whatever. So when you lie and you say whatever, the only thing you do is rile up the left, the extreme left. Or you do another campaign ad and you rile up the extreme right and you turn off everybody in between because they're like, that's fucking bullshit. So you know the only people that come out and vote are the extreme left and the extreme right. And that's why you end up with an extreme left and extreme right Congress, House, and Senate.
Because of television.
because of the fact that they don't regulate it.
Well, and people aren't smart enough to make their own educated guesses.
But then there's those middle ground people that do because they are maybe scared but want to actually stand up for something.
I know.
But too scared to stand up in a rally or something like that. So I'm going to go and I'm going to vote on voting day instead of that. There's always that and that's opinion. Just it. And if enough people stand up, then it can make a difference.
People would have to unite.
The last time
behind a united front, there has to be a united third party to go up.
The last time people stood up behind a movement or a wave, and I'm sorry, y'all ain't gonna like this. What was Barack Obama's campaign slogan in 2008?
Change, motherfucker, change.
Hope for Glenn's mom.
And it doesn't matter if it's anybody in this room who fell for it, but think.
I've never voted in my life.
Think of everybody who fucking fell for that change bullshit. Idiots.
Oh, there's a lot losers. Of losers.
Do you know why?
Losers.
Because they felt like they were a part of something. Yep. And that's what the next 2016 needs to be.
Hillary's going to get that. Everyone's going to vote for her because she's going to be the first woman.
I'm guessing Elizabeth Warren.
No, Hillary's going to get it, dude. It's already set in stone.
I'm guessing Joe Biden.
Elizabeth Warren. Nope, watch.
I'll tell you what, if I had to make a guess, if Jesse Ventura runs for president, I bet you his dumb ass would get elected.
It'll be Joe Biden, John Kerry. It'll be Joe Biden, John Kerry.
No, well, Jesse Ventura's going to run with the New Mexico's old governor.
Oh, Mr. Military Police State. The Mexican guy, right?
I forget his name.
Yeah.
Yes. Gary Johnson.
You're right.
That's his name. Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson, huh?
Gary Johnson. Maybe it was Arizona.
Like Rodriguez or... Like,
yeah.
No, dude.
And he built up all the military bases there. And Jason Ventura's like, yeah, he's a small government guy. Like, yep. Uh-huh.
But no, it's Gary Johnson who I'm thinking of. Oh, okay. Going to run with Jesse Ventura. 2016. Ventura Johnson.
Because anybody that's for the expansion of the military, I can't support. I can't even agree with you on anything. Because the military needs to shrink.
I would have to check him for a wire.
Check him for fucking AIDS. Check him for something, because this is bullshit. You can't... Your head's all fucked up if you're agreeing with the expansion of the U.S. military. The U.S. military is a frightening...
What is the only reason cancer. You would expand a military for?
To hurt people and bring misery to everybody. Poor people. Bring misery to poor people.
Bringing water.
To take over countries and expand the empire.
And if by water you mean fucking cluster bombs and blood.
Bombs and cyanide.
And crying. And misery.
That's the only thing. I mean, well, no, we'll bring... Actually, now you got a new power plant, too. You know what I'm saying? We're spreading, expanding the empire, taking over countries. That's what an empire does, right?
Okay, well, since we're anti-empire tonight or anti-establishment, what do you guys think about Iran? Should they be allowed to have a nuclear plant?
Power plant?
Why not?
Yes.
Why?
They're going to blow up Israel.
Not to say that I don't disagree.
I wish.
I just want to know why you think.
Well, because that will pull them off of their oil independence, OPEC.
OPZ?
OPEC's really putting the pressure on them, and as well as the United States, all the embargoes, they are in such poverty right now.
Yeah.
That they need a useful outlet to build their own energy and useful nuclear technology.
All right, that's a rare opinion from Stat Guy, which I kind of got to agree with, but I want to hear from F-Bomb and maybe a little bit from Edward.
You know, if they were...
Maybe.
They were going to build some nice, clean thorium reactor and use the forefront of the technology that's available to become a more green, efficient power than oil and all these fossil fuels that we're running everything right now. The more we can get away from fossil fuels, the better, I say.
And think about this. The more there's still a stockpile of, what, like, 15,000, 20,000 nuclear warheads or something across the world. The more nuclear power plants we have, the more that the nuclear material in those warheads can be used out instead of in the warheads.
So yeah.
What do you mean, like dirty bomb or
no
like,
more nukes?
You dismantle
no
the nukes.
We can dismantle the warheads and use that for energy.
Oof. Hoverboards and shit, you know.
Hoverboards, yes.
Microwaves, like super microwaves.
Self-fitting clothes.
So we let Iran have nuclear power to support their people. What do you guys?
That's what they use.
And this is another on a political level because I saw this in the news the other day. I saw the International Criminal Court was investigating Israel for crimes against humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Israel the man or
Palestine. For their invasion of Palestine this last summer. Remember when they had the war in Palestine this last summer? Israel lost, 72 people, and Palestine lost 2,342. like a ridiculous, like...
I think like one bomb touched down on the Israel side.
Yeah, it was like just some... Yeah.
Palestine was just and leveled.
So they're under investigation right now, and Israel's like calling to defund the internet.
They're one of the most genocidal nations out there.
Right?
So yeah, Israel will lay the fucking hammer down.
And America supports them.
Finally get what they got coming for them?
Well, I mean, it seems like America is backing them a lot. It seems like America does what Israel says almost a lot of times. There's certainly
Iran is far less genocidal than Israel.
Well, you kind of got to look at it like this. Palestine is a country on the edge. It's on its western border. On its western border is the ocean. On its eastern border is Israel. So it can't go.
Well, it's got Egypt. It's got Egypt on one side, but Israel has that gate blocked off.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can't go. Actually, Palestine is a jail.
It's trapped. It's trapped. They can't do anything.
Israel controls the water out front too.
So then Israel gets mad and starts to build over in their land because when did Israel and Palestine get set up?
1946.
Yeah.
At the end of World War II, The British split it up.
It was good for a little bit. It was good for a little while.
Yeah. Less than 2 minutes.
And then
It was good for less than two minutes.
We'll save that for next week.
Less than 2 minutes. So, in closing, I would just like to say I don't support any wars around the world. I would support an armed neutrality of the United States. And I would support
the intel scanner.
The Intel scanner and
well, who doesn't
go check out Puppet Master Publishing, Last Days of the Proletariat. Spread the love and peace.
I would
thank our special guest.
I would like to thank again, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Bill Johnson, Chairman of the American Freedom Party, for coming on. Thank you.
Yeah, he was an awesome guy.
Thanks to everybody listening. We'll catch you guys next Tuesday on the Intel Scatter. I'm G-Spot.
F-Bomb.
Your dad.
And your mom.
And your
stat guy. See you guys next week.
We're a bunch of poets here on the Intel Scanner.
And your mom.
But if you have a chance, look up the Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA. Check out that website. An informed juror is an enemy to unjust laws. Do you want to be an enemy to unjust laws and victimless crime prosecution? Check out the Fully Informed Jury Association.
Support the American Freedom Party. And we're shutting out here. Intel Scanner, Tuesday nights.
Love you.